following message is from New Life Gillette series, Don't Settle. This week, Pastor Mike presents part one of this series.
Well, good morning. Yes, it's Sunday morning. It's good to see you. Let me say welcome to those of you who are watching online, to the guys over at the prison, to our friends at the jail. Have any of you ever thrown your kid in the air? I'm a thrower. Have you seen that meme on Facebook where it's like, dad, what he thinks he's doing, and he's like, the kid is like a couple feet off his hands, and then another picture of what the kid thinks he's doing, and it's like 5 feet off of his hands. And then it's like what his mom thinks he's doing, and the kid is like in the sky, flying through the air. She's terrified. I throw my kids in the air all the time. Lincoln's 5, so I don't do it as often as I used to because I feel weak because I can't get him up as high. But Titus, I'm just like ragdoll, tossing him as high as I possibly can, like one arm by the leg, maybe not, but throwing my kids as high as I can in the air, and they love every second of it. I mean, they cannot get enough of it. There is not an ounce of fear in my kids when I throw them in the air. Why? Because they trust me, right? But what if I dropped them? They wouldn't trust me anymore. What if I throw Titus in the air one time and then I don't catch him? Well, if he lives through it, he's not going to trust me next time. The trust is gone. So what do you trust enough to build your life's foundation on? What do you trust enough that's going to catch you when you fall? For better or for worse, every one of us have a foundation we've built our life on. There is something underneath us that we have decided, this is strong enough, this is good enough, I'm going to build right here. And we may think it's strong, it doesn't really matter what we think about whether or not it's strong. It in and of itself is either strong or weak. And today I want to make the case that the only thing strong enough to hold the weight of your life is Jesus, period. You got to add the period, it makes it more emphatic. Jesus, period. If you build your life on anything else, it will not stand. At some point in the future, your life is going to come falling apart, or something bad is going to happen, or your emotions or spiritually, or something is going to fall apart, and you're going to realize the foundation that I built my life on is not strong unless it is built on Jesus Christ. Anybody know what this is? It's a cracked wall. This is actually a picture of our lobby. Used to be the original auditorium of this building. I took this picture right before they covered it up with drywall so you wouldn't know, to hide it so that you weren't terrified walking through the lobby. Actually, it's not the glamorous reason to give, but this is actually a major reason why we had to do the remodel project that we just did. It's not that fun of a reason to talk about, but we had to replace the whole slab of the lower level of this building and all kinds of foundation work and get water out away from the building. Because I don't know how long you've lived in Gillette, but if you've lived here for very long, you know that we don't have a lot of bedrock around here to build on. So you end up building on a lot of clay, and this building is built on clay. And what happens when clay gets wet is it expands. And if you're built on clay, then it's going to expand. And then when it gets dry, it contracts and it expands and contracts. Well, if it gets wet and there's nowhere for the water to go after it gets wet, it just kind of stays wet and it stays expanded. And this is what happened under our original building. The clay expanded, pushed up on the middle of the building, and it just caused all kinds of foundation and wall and all kinds of crazy problems. And so that was a major part of the building project that we just did, was to fix that problem. In fact, when they were outside fixing some of the parking lot that was broken for the same reason, one of the diggers was outside over here on this side of the building, and he was digging, and then he stopped, and he called over his manager to come look to see that right beside where he was digging, he could see underneath the parking lot. And then when he got down into the hole he was digging, he looked over and realized there's a big cave in the ground underneath our parking lot that you've been driving over for years. All kinds of crazy stuff happens underneath a parking lot that is not built with a good foundation. In fact, because they were trying to cut some corners when they were building this building the first time, running tight on budget, instead of building a foundation for our parking lot, they just poured 2 inches of asphalt, which is not very much, 2 inches of asphalt right on top of the dirt. No other support, no other work, nothing else. When they pour the new asphalt, there's all kinds of crazy compacting things that they do to make sure that it lasts over time. But our parking lot breaks up easily because they did nothing to the foundation. Today, I want to make the case that your life is the same way. That you are building your life on a strong or a weak foundation, whether you know it or not, and there is only one foundation that is strong enough to hold the weight of your life, because it's heavy. And you're going to go through pain, and you're going to go through problems, and bad things are going to happen, and there is only one foundation strong enough to sustain through all of it. Paul says this, the Apostle Paul, not Pastor Paul, you are members of God's family. Okay, so metaphor number one, we're part of God's family. Together, we are his house. So household, like we're taking the metaphor even farther, we're now house. And we are a house that is built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. So actually, the foundation he's saying, the foundation of our faith, the foundation of our life, is actually the apostles and the prophets. What does that mean? Well, it really just means scripture. The truth that has been handed down to us from the apostles, the truth that has been handed down to us from the prophets who wrote scripture. And the cornerstone, so even deeper than the foundation, and the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself. We are carefully joined together in him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. A lot of people say that they build their life on the foundation of scripture, on the foundation of the disciples and the prophets. But when you actually dig into it, they've actually just taken a lot of what the disciples and the apostles and the prophets wrote, and they've just kind of used them like as tools. So yeah, they may be built on some scripture verses that they've read that they're going to quote from time to time, but there's nothing beneath that. And so, yeah, they're built on the foundation, but there's not the cornerstone of Jesus Christ underneath that foundation to hold the foundation in place. This building project has taught me way more about foundations than I ever wanted to know. But Paul called Jesus the cornerstone. So you would say, so Jesus is our foundation. Paul's like, he's deeper. He's not the foundation. He's deeper than the foundation. The cornerstone. What's the cornerstone? Well, we don't really use that word, I don't think, in building much anymore. At least I didn't hear it when they were building our building. But what they did talk about a lot was the footer. What's a footer? It's a large piece of concrete that is under the foundation wall. And if you put your foundation wall on soil without a footer, it's just going to kind of, over time, just sink in. It's not going to hold firm. It doesn't really actually have anything to stop it from faltering. Paul says, no, Jesus is not the foundation. Jesus is deeper than the foundation. Jesus is the cornerstone. Jesus is the footer. Here's the footer of our new building that we've just built. This is the south addition. I don't know if you can see it. It's kind of small up here, but this giant piece of concrete underneath this wall that they built up here, that giant piece of concrete is the foundation or the footer. You're saying, duh, Mike, I've known this my whole life. I didn't know this. I just learned this through this project. This week, my sons were playing with balloons. You guys remember for At the Movies, they had a bunch of balloons in the lobby. Those ended up in my lobby or in my living room. And so my sons have been playing with these balloons in the living room since At the Movies happened. And Lincoln asked me, can I pop a balloon? And I was like, sure. So Lincoln runs to the kitchen and he grabs a fork. And he decides that he's going to sprint around my room, my living room, popping balloons and spraying whoever blew them up spit all over our living room. And so he's running around just plowing through the balloons. It is an explosive going off in our living room, just everywhere, popping balloons, just covering the room and shreds of balloon. And my 2-year-old son is looking wide-eyed. Whoa. is happening. And I realize he is enjoying this a lot. So I say, Lincoln, hold on. Stop. Lincoln, stop. Lincoln, stop. Okay, finally, Lincoln stops. I say, Lincoln, give Titus a turn. So Titus takes the fork and has seen what Lincoln is doing. And he runs around the room and he's going to do the same thing. And he starts sprinting around the room and he's going, nothing's popping. Lincoln, Titus is assuming it's because he's not strong enough, but he's hitting all these balloons with the same fork that Lincoln hit the balloons with, but nothing is happening. Because Lincoln or Titus doesn't understand physics, or what would that be? Is that physics? Yeah, something like that. Maybe I don't either. Titus doesn't understand that the fork needs to slice through the balloon in this way. Hitting the balloon like this is hitting the ground with a footer. Hitting the balloon like this is hitting the ground with a foundation wall. And when the foundation wall hits the ground, it goes right through it. Not so with a footer. So what we need is something bigger, something wider, something more expansive underneath the foundation wall to keep it from cutting through the dirt. Every lasting foundation is built on a solid footer. Everything that lasts, every life that lasts is built on Jesus Christ. Okay, there's the foundation of the conversation. Now we need to talk about the problem. The problem is footers are hard to see. Like, for all you know, we actually didn't even put a footer under the new buildings because they're buried under the dirt. You can't see them. When you buy a new house, you just got to hope it's built on a good footer, right? In fact, some of our original building, no footer, right on the foundation, caused some of the problem. Recently, my wife and I, my parents moved in with us, so we bought a new house, and actually that new house is older than our old house, and so we hired Mr. Persfield to come out and look at the house, tell us, is this house in good shape? Tell us about the foundation. Is it sturdy? And how is he able to tell us if the house is a good house or not? He's able to walk around the house, look for cracks, look for signs of water that have come through the cracks, look for all kinds of different things in the house to see if it's a sturdy house or not. In other words, he's able to look at the results of the footer and tell you if there's a good footer underneath there. He's able to look for fruit, results. Evidence. Well, Paul, the Apostle Paul, tells us a similar thing about our lives. He says the Holy Spirit produces, results in this kind of fruit in our lives. So let's talk about what is a life that is built on Jesus Christ. What does it look like? Here's a list. Try to categorize these words in your mind as I go through them. What kind of person am I describing as I go through this list? Love. Joy. Peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So if you see somebody whose life looks like this, there is a good chance that below the surface, it is built on a solid foundation of Jesus Christ. How many of these words describe the 24/7 news we've been watching? Peace. Patience, kindness, gentleness, not the shows I've been watching. And which of those, which things in our lives have the most influence in the way we treat each other, in the way we talk to each other, in the way we interact with each other? We need to see evidence in our lives that they are actually built on the foundation of Jesus Christ. So, how evident are the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, in my life? When you look at the way I'm living my life, does it look peaceful? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Does that sound like my life or not? You can judge that. Like, we don't judge each other, but you can judge whether or not I'm those things or not. And when you look at my life and you determine if those things are in my life or not, you start to wonder, how much is his life built? Like, is it partially built on that foundation? Like, I'm going to keep I can't afford a full footer all the way around the building, so I'll just partially build a little bit of a footer on this part of the building. Paul tells us that how we see Christians, not what they call themselves. A lot of people call themselves Christians. Later you find out, no, that foundation wall is in right on the dirt. He's like, no, you should look at the way they live their lives. Are they peaceful? Christ-like actions are caring actions. Christ-like actions are generous. How generous are you? How much of your income goes to you and how much goes to others? What percentage of your income ends in your bank account and never goes out to help anybody else? Are you generous? They're loving actions. Do you think of yourself first, or do you sacrifice for others first? Well, then how do we get these actions? Well, I can't just try hard enough. I can't just rack my brain hard enough. Now, all of a sudden, I'm going to become peaceful. I'm going to force myself to become peaceful. How do you force that on yourself? You really can't. Jerry Bridges said this: the fruit of the Spirit is fundamentally relational. Rather than originating with us, it flows to us from our union with Christ, and it flows beyond us to bring us into fellowship with others. I'm reading that again. That's really good. The fruit of the Spirit is fundamentally relational. Plug for life groups. Rather than originating with us, it flows to us from our union with Christ, and it flows beyond us to bring us into fellowship with others. In other words, the fruit of the Spirit affect the way we interact with the people around us. Build your life on Christ, and the fruit of the Spirit will flow to you and flow out of you to the people around you. You can't just force it. You need God for it. They're a result of following Him. And because we are built in His image, there are times in our life that we will demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit. But there's something different when it comes, not just I was built in the image of God, so sometimes I look like God, but my life is built on God. It's not about acting correctly. It's not about being good enough or doing good enough. Love God and love people. Because you can obey all the Ten Commandments and still be a miserable person. You can avoid committing adultery. You can avoid murder. You can avoid stealing all you want. And those things are good things to do, by the way. But you could do all that and still be miserable. Because those are just the foundation wall. Those things aren't going to hold you up unless beneath all of that is a purpose, is a foundation, is a footer, is a cornerstone, Jesus Christ. Because you can't embrace the fruit of the Spirit and be a miserable anything. When Jesus came to earth, everything got better. Like tangibly, physically, everything got better. Look at the results. I mean, you just look at the way He interacted with people and you recognize actually women and slaves got much freer. Peace in the world expanded. Generosity, the way that people give to each other, increased. Because Jesus actually had an influence in the world. His actions actually did something that resulted in good fruit. Gandhi said, live like Jesus did and the world will listen. Jesus makes our lives better and He makes us better at life. Okay, so for the rest of the time today, I want to make the case for why I believe that you should build your life's foundation on Jesus Christ. Because there's a lot of options. There's all kinds of other gods that you can worship or other things that you can turn into gods and worship. So I want to make the case why I believe that Jesus, there is no better option than for you to choose to build your foundation on Jesus Christ. And I want to make that case using the words of Christ. Specifically, I want to use the last words that Jesus spoke on earth. Some of the last words. So Jesus is being killed. Jesus has been whipped, literally tortured, his hair pulled out, and he has been nailed to a cross. and dropped into a hole in the ground. He's hanging between two criminals. And beneath him, a riot forms. A crowd of people making fun of him, spitting on him, angry at him. And what's Jesus' response? God, get them! God, stop them! No, what's his response? He says, Father, forgive them. For they don't understand. For they don't know what they are doing. They can't see it's buried beneath the surface. It's beyond their ability to comprehend. They can't see it. So he is in terrible pain. And in the midst of his pain, he does not focus on him. In the midst of his pain, he focuses on you. Why make Jesus the cornerstone of your life? Because he is the only one who is not only powerful enough to forgive you of your sins, but also the one who cares enough about you to do it. Who is selfless enough to die so that your sins can be forgiven. Why Jesus Christ? Why not? Who else? One of the criminals on the cross next to Jesus scoffed at him and made fun of him. But the other criminal on the other side of Jesus actually decided to put his faith in Jesus while they were hanging there. And Jesus replied to him, I assure you, today you will be with me in paradise. So why would we make Jesus our cornerstone? Because he's our only way. The only way to heaven, the only way to God. Even if putting your faith in him is the last thing that you do in your last breath before you die, you can be healed eternally. And given access to union with him forever. And then Jesus looked at Mary and at John, and he says, dear woman, here is your son. Dear Mary, here is your son, John. And he said to John, here is your mother, Mary. So now in this moment, Jesus is still not focusing on himself. Jesus says to John and Mary, hey, John, take care of Mary. Why did he do that? Because he's not only the God of eternity. He's also the God of this life. He's also the God of this world, and he cares about you in this world. So even though everything may not be perfect in this world, and even though you will have pain and problems in this world, he cares for you in this world. He's not only looking at what comes next, but also for you today. So don't wait till your last breath to have communion with him. Don't wait till your last breath to be in a relationship with him, because Jesus makes our lives better and he makes us better at life. And look at the fruit of what a life with him looks like compared to a life without him. And if you look at Jesus's life objectively, it may look like a little bit of an uneventful life. Okay, he did some cool magic tricks. Okay, he had a lot of followers, whatever. But how do we know that Jesus was not just another guy claiming to be God? Because of the fruit. Look at the results. What kind of movement did it spark? We are here today because of him. We are here today. We are in fellowship with each other because of him. His life had fruit. Then Jesus is about to die, hanging on the cross, and he says, at about 3:00, Jesus called out with a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you abandoned me? This is a unique passage, because Jesus says, my God. For most of his life and most of the conversations that we have recorded of him talking to his heavenly Father, God the Father, he says, Daddy. He says, Abba. And in this moment, Jesus is carrying your pain, every pain you've ever felt. And in this moment, Jesus is carrying your shame. On his shoulders is the weight of every sin and the results of every sin that you have ever committed. And that, even beyond the physical torture that is being inflicted on him, is causing an incredible amount of pain, so much so that his heart is being ripped in half. And all of this sin that is being weighed down on his shoulders is separating him from his Father. And he shouts out in response, "God, where are you?" You've prayed that. You've wondered that, haven't you? You've wondered in a time of doubt, in a time of pain or confusion or trying to figure out where to go. God, I said that I'd be in relationship with you. You said we would be together, that I would be your son. Where are you? And it's because all of this is a journey to him. See, there was a wall that was built by us between us and God that keeps us from being with God. And Jesus came to earth and he demolished that wall. He broke that wall. And our lives are a journey of us walking toward God and God walking toward us till eventually we call it heaven when we are with God. That is what heaven is. That no longer is there a separation between us and him, but when heaven is fully here, we are fully with God, and there's no longer this, "God, where are you?" feeling. But until that union happens, we will feel that pain. Until we are fully with him, we will wonder at times, "God, where are you?" His Holy Spirit gives us the ability at times to be in full union with him. We get an understanding of what it's like to be with God in this world because his Holy Spirit is with us. But someday, even physically, we will be with him. So how do we get it? How do we get there? Is Jesus your cornerstone? I mean, why wouldn't he be? What else? Try to name something. Try to come up with something that's worth building your life on. I can think of a lot of things that are fun to do. But what else is even close? Nothing. We call the day that Jesus died on the cross, it was on a Friday. We call it Good Friday. How could all the pain and torture and evil that I've just described be called a good anything? And it's only good because of the results, because of the fruit that it produced. Because here's the reality. All of us are building a house. All of us are building a life on a plot of land. But there is only one plot of land that has a cornerstone under it that's strong enough to hold up the weight of your life. The problem is you can't buy it. You can't afford it. It's sitting on a piece of property that is way outside of your price range. You can't afford it. And Jesus Christ came to earth and he said, "I'll buy it for you. I'll do what you can't do. I'll pave a path that you cannot walk without me. I'll do what you cannot do." And he gave you the ability to build a life, build a house that nobody else can build because nobody else can afford the land unless Jesus Christ buys it for them. If you're sitting there today and you've not yet start building that life, you're still exploring other options. You're still exploring other gods or other things, or maybe you're just thinking, "This is all nonsense. I'm just gonna keep making more money and buying bigger houses and doing what I can because I'm gonna die and end up in the ground someday." But there are some people in here today who are beginning to realize that the foundation that their life is built on is not good enough because there's too many cracks in your life. If that is you, then I have an invitation for you today that will change your life. It'll change everything. And it'll change your eternity. If you will put your faith in him, if you will trust him and him alone. And all that takes is a conversation to get it started, so that you can walk that journey toward him. You just got to say, God, I'm sorry for my sins. God, thank you for dying for me. There's not some magical phrase you have to use or some specific words you have to say. You just got to have a conversation with God. I believe in you. I'll put my trust in you. I want to be in your family. Have that conversation with him. If you want to have that conversation with him with helps of somebody else, there'll be some people up here after the service who'd love to talk with you, love to pray with you and have that conversation. We'd also like to know about it. There's some cards in the chair in front of you. Say, I have decided. We want to know that you're making that commitment to follow Christ. You can fill out one of those cards and drop it in the back of the room. We want to follow up with some next steps that you can take in this journey towards God. There are other people in the room who would say, no, I built the foundation. No, I know the cornerstone and I know all this stuff, Mike, and I tried and it's not working. My life is still in shambles. Well, until the house is fully built, it's going to feel like that a lot of times. I'll tell you what, a lot of times in this building project, I felt like, no, this is all wrong. There's a mess here that's never going to get cleaned up. It's never going to be done building. And until the house is fully built, until it's done, it's going to feel painful and hard at times. And that's when we are asked to have faith in God. And then when we're building on that foundation and everybody around us is saying it's going to break, when my wife is saying, you're going to drop him, quit throwing him up like that. You're building your life on Christ and it's super countercultural. It's nothing like what everybody else says you're doing. And they're saying, what are you doing? All that spiritual hocus pocus. That foundation isn't worth it. This is way more fun over here. And they start making you doubt the foundation that you're building on. And you start losing faith in that foundation. Know that there is only one foundation worth building your life on. And it is Jesus Christ. Because everything else will crack. God, today I thank you for how you have made a way for us when there was no way. I thank you that you are faithful even when we are not. I thank that you will never leave us or forsake us, that you will never drop us. God, I pray for people here today who are wavering, that your Holy Spirit would begin to draw them to you in an entirely new way. God, we thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.